Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we've been talking about social enterprise and various elements of social enterprise, right from the ideation to the action, the scalability, the innovation. But without an entrepreneur, there is no enterprise, right? So let's now touch on some of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. From India, from overseas, who have made the world a better place and who continue to inspire new age entrepreneurs across genders, across age groups, and who we can whose experiences and journeys we can really, really learn from. And also that there was nothing that was there was no formula that these entrepreneurs had when they came up with their idea. So one doesn't have to feel dejected by lack of resources when you're starting out, by support systems. If you have the passion, you go forward, you stay persistent. Persistency is very important. You ensure you're giving yourself visibility. You are successful. You are driven. You can get people to positively collaborate with you because all our enterprises are a collective team effort. You can and then you can get stakeholders and patrons to buy into you. Then all of those elements put together require extremely dynamic personalities and not necessarily people who are coming from very wealthy backgrounds who have the luxury of jumping into social enterprise. Some of these people were absolute, from very simple backgrounds without their own individual personal purse strings to be able to indulge in social enterprise. It was ideas which were solid, which were implemented and worked on in a very, very productive manner so that they have been sustainable and have received buy-in and appreciation from across the globe. So, of course, when we talk about social enterprise, we have to, right at the start, talk about Bill Drayton, the founder and CEO of the Ashoka Enterprise and the Innovators for Public. It's an organization that supports social entrepreneurs around the world. There are now more than 3,500 Ashoka fellows and across multitudes of countries. And Bill Drayton was very heavily influenced. He's considered the father of the term social enterprise. And, the person who coined the term social enterprise formally. And it is believed that he was very strongly influenced by Vinoba Bhave and his Bhudan movement of voluntary land gifting in the 1950s. So there is a very close association with Indian social enterprise, which is at the foundation of the Ashoka Foundation, something he was very inspired inspired by. So they contribute, their contributions and impact create change makers. These change makers go onward to influence and handhold and mentor other change makers and continue, keep paying it back and continuing the cycle of social enterprise, which keeps creating positive social impact for people, for communities, for the planet. So again, you cannot be talking about social enterprise anywhere in the world without touching on the Ashoka Foundation, their change maker movement, and the lasting impact that they have had on social enterprises globally and the movement of social enterprises. Let's talk about Blake Mycosi. We have spoken about Tom Shoes several times in some of the past chapters. Tom Shoes has this one-for-one policy where for every shoe that is bought, they donate shoes to a needy child. They have, as a result, they have provided close to 100 million pairs of shoes since 2006. They have also, over and above just shoes, they have been involved in a lot of very noble ventures using their network, their resources to restore eyesight to over 600,000 people. They have various other initiatives to in the area of healthcare, whether it is by way of providing safe drinking water, whether it is by way of other initiatives. So again, a torch bearer in giving back to society, creating positive impact in, especially in communities which are disadvantaged and where there are a lot of unmet needs when it comes to even basic human needs and amenities. They also founded the mission to train for skilled birth attendants in a lot of parts of the world. Still, unfortunately, even in this day and age, in a lot of part of the world, we still have a lot of women losing their life during birth and delivery, which should actually be a moment for celebration, but ends up, there is a high mortality rate in a lot of segments during deliveries. And two, it's a very noble cause to be contributing and training people, attendants, so that they can assist this creation and this celebration in terms of helping new life. So they have, in terms of measurability, of course, it's an organization with a lot of resources. They are an organization with systems in place, people to monitor. So it is easier for them to probably come up with data, deliver data. But more than 25,000 mothers have been positively impacted by this mission for safe birth services. So now, also, when we are talking about, when we are coming towards a final chapters for social enterprise, once again, when I'm mentioning numbers, keep in mind that yes, though these are large organizations with the resources to measure, but you see how much, when it comes to understanding the impact, how much facts and data helps to appreciate the scale of the benefit which the beneficiaries have had the advantage of. So whether it's a small enterprise or a large enterprise, measurability, sharing information about positive, tangible impact. Of course, one can decide what that impact is, liters of water, number of people, lives saved, number of children educated beyond a certain standard. All of these parameters really help in demonstrating to the various stakeholders your potential, the solidity of your idea. And then, of course, as a result, also getting people to invest with you, also getting beneficiaries. So now when Tom's Shoes has been supporting this venture to for assisted training attendants for assisting women during childbirth, the fact that 25 mothers have benefited from this, this will definitely, tomorrow when they want to scale it up even more, maybe in a different region, or someone else is inspired by this idea to start something similar in another region, then the fact that this has been done successfully, the numbers are there, the evidence is there, helps other initiatives or scalability by Tom's itself so much more, because other communities will be far more responsive now that there is verifiable data, transparency, to see that, yes, the results are there. It works. It is not theoretical. It is not just talk. It actually works. Then, of course, you have Scott Harrison. Now, a lot of the diseases are waterborne diseases, as we are aware. A lot of the mortality that happens, especially in children, a lot of the illnesses are because of waterborne diseases. And lack of clean drinking water is a basic need which a very large part of the global population is still struggling with. You know, there are parts of the world, including in India, where people have to travel miles to get a bucket of water, of safe drinking water, safe clean water. They have to travel for miles, and here is sitting in larger cities, we take water supply for granted. We waste water. There is water spillage wasted. There are so many campaigns which are trying to create awareness around economizing on water usage so that, the disadvantaged can have more, can be given more access to safe water, and every drop counts. But targeted enterprise, goes and actually takes this concept of water conservation and provision of safe drinking water to the grassroots final beneficiary and makes a positive impact. So here in this case, it's a non-profit organization charity which is focusing on providing this clean drinking water, a very, very basic life-saving need of human beings. Now, again, look at the measurability. Let's say tomorrow someone else wants to start this. There is measurability here. They have provided more than 1 million people in 17 different countries. They are talking about the rate at which they are growing. Now, every time out of these 17 countries where they would have entered these new areas, they would have had to collaborate with the local governments, the various stakeholders, the NGOs at the grassroots level, the beneficiaries to convince them to, you know, change their lifestyle patterns in terms of the way they are consuming water from different sources. And every time there would have been new learnings involved, a lot of work involved. And that learning has to happen every time, and one has to, it's not simply a matter of cut paste from the first country to the other 16 countries, but every time the effort of the enterprise has to be remodeled to suit the new culture, the new country, the new topography. Now, in this case, they give away 100% of their profits and keep their drive is mainly to keep scaling up in terms of the number of people served, the number of countries which they are servicing. And of course, given the number of countries in the world, this is just about 16-17% of the global countries. So there is so much potential for growth in this venture. But again, an extremely inspiring story, which goes, way beyond the core commercial, goals of traditional commercial organizations. So Jeffrey Hollander, all the way in the late 80s, again, started an enterprise where they wanted to have a positive impact on the environment. And it's very important to note that those were times when environmental impact was not being spoken about as much. It is in later years that it has become more, widely imperative. The urgency, the impact was not talked about so much. And that was a time when he still was proactive in terms of creating cleaning products, personal care products, which had a positive impact on the environment. And of course, Here we are talking about a large corporation which has generated a huge amount in revenue, and that doesn't. But having said that, that doesn't mean that the commitment to the social enterprise part of his mission is has been sidelined for the sake of numbers. So when we are looking at these various international entrepreneurs, I would like to mention again, repeat. Entities like the Acumen Fund, who is very well known in our country because of their investment into Arvind Eye Hospital and the support they gave there. They have a very large investment in India. They have investments of over $32 million across 26 social enterprises. So there is a lot of investment from these funds which are very conducive to promoting social enterprise. Likewise, you have Avishkar Fund, which is a for-profit fund, which is an investment fund investing in social impact enterprises, and versus some of the other enterprises that we saw in this discussion, which are not for profit. Avishkar is very clear that the structure that they have chosen is a for-profit structure, and there is nothing, no formula that says that for-profit structures cannot do good and cannot have a positive social impact because suddenly profit is coming into the picture. As long as that profit is channeled in a very healthy, productive manner, they can very well contribute positively, and very often that profit can help them scale and contribute profitably. Now, we take reading and access to books for granted. You know, we have our books and we have our Kindles and all of that. And, you know, when we, finish a book, how many of us actually like productively dispose them off in terms of donating them to libraries or reselling them, etc.? So this corporation, B Corporation Better, they have taken this social venture where they want to maximize the value of every book, repurpose books, circulate them out to promote literacy around the world, which is very noble because if the disadvantaged people had to spend all the time to purchase materials for studying, that would be a huge cost. Whereas, think about when we finish our education, where do all our books go? You know, internationally, in a lot of the universities, the students, not just now, but for a few decades, a lot of the students, especially because they have budget constraints also, but now more of because of social consciousness, buy books from their seniors who are moving on to the next year instead of going out and purchasing new books, in a way, adding to the circular economy and getting the maximum value out of books. So likewise, this mission wants to target the disadvantaged and promote literacy among them. So they have so far used, they have reused, recycled books through their websites, donations to schools. They have managed to raise more than $12 million in funding. And if you look around you, and even if you go online and search, you know, very often you'll have someone putting a post on social media, hey, I have a bunch of books, would anyone like to, I have a space constraint, I've bought more books, which is a very, frequent occurrence with the book lovers that, you keep accumulating a lot of books and, there's a space constraint. And, people will put up posts, any leads, I want to donate them. I want to, very often they, go to trash. Sometimes you go and donate them to, shops, which may be places which may be becoming libraries, etc. And these enterprises in your immediate vicinity may be happening at a smaller scale, though, of course, they are contributing to the good. But when happening at such a large scale, they have 84 million volumes used. Then this large scale, can you imagine the kind of impact that it is having on the disadvantaged communities who can probably not allocate the budget and shell out the money for these books. So all these initiatives really have this innovative thinking behind them, where they have taken something which would have been wasted, you know, and they have put it, deployed it in the circular economy of recycling, refurbishing, reusing, you know, and reviving the planet. Another venture, you know, is enterprise is of Akhtar Hamid Khan in the Pakistani region, where again his mission is to develop and was to develop and promote development and betterment in the rural communities. Also, because of this, he was nominated for the Nobel Prize. Some of his projects have been the Komila Cooperative Project, the Orangi Project, and focusing on several aspects in terms of helping squatter communities, sanitation issues, undertaking microfinance initiatives. So a lot of diversity of issues being handled and dealt with out there. In the past, we were talking about the conscience of people who are extremely passionate, who want to contribute to social impact, who want to contribute to people and planet. So here is an example of someone who was very successful in the traditional pharmaceutical industry and chose to give that up because he was drawn to developmental needs and developmental initiatives to help the underserved communities in parts of Egypt. So the Sekhem Foundation, which translates into vitality from the sun, they are working on a lot of biodynamic farms, schools, trainings, improving the environment, reclaiming land, reclaiming hundreds of acres of land on the outskirts of Cairo, bringing in small farmers to be more productive, grow plants, develop herbal teas, organic cotton, etc., on this reclaimed land, and make the most of this, make the most of the solar power that can be harnessed and channeled to improving your environment, make the most of reclaiming land so that products and produce can be generated, which can bring employment, livelihood to the smallholder farmer communities around these areas. And again, it has been very successful, but you see the risk that was taken. He was in a very successful job in a part of the world which is very desirable to be living and working in. You can imagine the quality of lifestyle on a day-to-day basis for someone in Europe who is successful versus, among the masses in Egypt. And clearly, he gave all of that up to come and work in Egypt, work through the challenges, through the tough terrains. Of course, I'm sure that there was a lot of effort that went into getting the authorities, the local authorities to collaborate, be conducive, create a conducive environment. And that requires a lot of guts versus, someone who is not as successful in the corporate world, not to say that they're not productive, are not giving up something very prized or sought after when they're starting a social enterprise. But in this case, giving that up and refocusing his passions and energies towards creating social good is really a very inspiring story for others to take inspiration from, especially people who may be conflicted on, should I take this plunge and, move in the direction of my passion. Now, when we're talking about, when we have spoken about Shaheen Mistry in some of the earlier chapters, with her, family connections, with her network, she could have had the most comfortable, peaceful jobs globally anywhere, you know. And given her resourcefulness, you know, intellect, personality, been very successful at it. But she gave life to her passion and created these enterprises which have involved a lot of challenges, a lot of work. I have myself at various points of time volunteered with the Akanksha Foundation, and I realize that it is not simply a matter of, you know, going to the local communities, the disadvantaged segments, and immediately getting them to agree that please send your children to these schools, please, you know, allow us to teach them, please. You know, there is a lot of resistance. Very often, even though it is illegal, these children are assisting in parts of the jobs. There is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people who are saying, you know, what's in it for me? You know, is there a monetary gain? Why should I give my time to you? Or doesn't matter, eventually they will drop out. They have to become, you know, go join the unorganized sector, do the menial jobs, etc. So there is a lot of mental resistance to recruiting these children and their families into your programs. However, this lady took this risk and would have gone through, she and her teams, especially in the initial days, would have gone through all these challenges to create a model which could create scalable impact, tangible impact, to demonstrate to the world that it's very much possible. Talking about Indian social activist Bankar Roy, he has helped immense number of people in Asia and Africa with vital skills, addressing solar power. His Barefoot College is an organization teaching illiterate women how to become doctors, engineers, architects. Once again, endorsing the theme of empowering women. Very often we are seeing initiatives which are targeting the focus as women, because women, when you are empowering a woman, the fact is that you're not just empowering her in isolation, you're empowering her children, her husband, and it is seen as a more holistic, very often it is seen as a more holistic impact rather than, you know, impacting an individual beneficiary. So the goal is not to make profits for themselves, but to improve the quality of life of women. Also, when we'll be talking about what the future of social enterprise involves, then we'll be talking a lot about the African continent, because again, it is a continent where there is a lot of disparity. It is a continent where going forward, there's going to be a very large part of the global workforce is going to be, you know, could potentially be the number of youth from there. So there is a lot of youth who could contribute positively if channeled to the global workforce. So again, we will see that a lot of the entrepreneurs from India have been passionate about not only contributing to Indian communities that are disadvantaged, but a lot of them have taken their ventures across international borders, to a lot of the African disadvantaged communities as well. In his case, he has brought about positive change. Now, talking about productivity increases in Africa and eradicating hunger and creating food security in Africa, Baban Gona, which in Hausa, the language native to Nigeria, means great farm or great farmer. And again, the agenda being to focus on the youth, focus on the productivity of the land out there, and to use technology to work on this land and be able to reclaim, to improve the land conditions out there, the agricultural practices out there, so that you are increasing the productivity from this land, from these agricultural projects by 2 to 3 times more than what the national average of productivity is. A lot of this focus, again, is directed at the youth, because if you can bring in the youth into the spectrum of the agricultural workforce, then they can contribute very significantly. With the way the global population is growing, you have you are going to have a lot of the youth, strong youth coming from Africa, who can be given few good future prospects to improve not only their life but also have a good positive social impact on their communities and to the global workforce and the global economy, both from the commercial and the social standpoint.